How many of you bothered to make a New Year's resolution this year? Notice how I phrased that. I didn't say, did you make one? I said, did you even bother to make one? Now, there's a reason why we don't a lot of times bother to make one. Why? We can't get them to work. I got to thinking about that. You know, why is it that we can't get them to work? And I think the answer is us. Us. We can't get them to work because we can't make things happen. Now, we can get into a lot of trouble. Don't get me wrong. We can get a whole lot of trouble. But a lot of times, willpower is not going to be enough. We can't do it. Too often times, the resolution stays in the head, but it never gets where? To the heart. It never gets to the heart. Now, if it could actually make it to the heart, then we might have a better chance. And that's why I asked this thing about, you know, Jesus said it was those things which are within us that's the critical part. And so is Jesus really in our heart? Not just our head, but in our heart. And so I got to thinking about that, and that's, I think, a good reason for why the resolutions just kind of fall by the wayside. But now there is something important about the new year. It's a new beginning. We can start again. It's kind of like we have a do-over. We only have to watch it. Well, we don't, just one thing. But one major thing we want to watch out for is insanity. Why would I say insanity? What's the classic definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting what? Something different. That's insane. And that, I think, is why a lot of times the resolutions don't work. Because we're doing the same thing over and over again. Now, maybe one of the same things that we could do over and over again is keep our eyes upon Jesus and turn our eyes upon Jesus and keep them there. If that can take place, then I think that the world and the life that we live will be better. It will be stronger. Because you see, we're part of building the kingdom of God. And do we know that the kingdom of God is at hand, or are we oblivious to it? You know, Stephen Covey said it's important to keep the main thing the main thing. That's another way of saying don't get distracted. Anybody get distracted? All the time. Or as Keller, with Keller Williams Realty, what's the one best thing? Don't try to do 10 things, do the one best thing. Well, the one best thing, and keeping the main thing, is to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Keep our eyes upon Jesus throughout the entire year. Now, the Bible helps us with this, and I'm going to give you three passages to look at. And if you want to jot down a few extra, because I'm going to give you a lot of different scripture passages today, which if you want to meditate on them later on, please do so. But let's begin with Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. No, I'm sorry. Chapter 91. I looked at it wrong. Isaiah chapter already in trouble. Bear with me. Bear with me. It is here. No, mine don't either. Mine don't either. I was trying to think on my feet and get my way out of this, but I dug the hole deeper. Don't go there. Yeah, I look, I didn't even plan on that illustration. Lord threw that one in. So Isaiah 9:14. So the Lord cut off Israel's head and tail, and the palm branches and the reed in a single day. The head is the elder and the honored one. The tail is the prophet, the one teaching lies. The leaders of the people misled them, and those they misled, they swallowed up. And what this is talking about is that the people of Israel had fallen away, and they were going to be punished for that. And they were led astray, and they were told that there would be one from Galilee who would come and would deliver them. And so if you go back and look at chapter 9, verse 1, and let's go halfway through, it says, but in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of Jordan, and to Galilee of the nations. Now, although there would be destruction for Israel falling away, for Israel taking the wrong path, there will be honor that will come by the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, and to Galilee of the nations. Galilee is important in this verse. For it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time, and they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke on the rod of their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. Now, the reason I wanted to share that verse with you and finally found out what it was I was trying to share is that there's a promise there. And the promise is there's a deliverance. And that deliverance and that light that will come is associated with Galilee. Now, why would that be of interest to us? Where is Jesus from? Galilee. He grew up where? Galilee. Nazareth was in Galilee. Jesus breaks the yoke of oppression on the cross. That's a promise. So from Galilee would be the answer. That's the promise. Well, what is it that we get from Galilee? Turn, if you will, to Mark. Chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee. Here's Galilee again. Proclaiming the good news of God. What did he proclaim? Here is the message and ministry of Jesus in one verse. Verse 15. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God, God's reign, God's rule over our lives, our families, our neighborhoods, our society has come. Repent. Easiest way to remember repent is this: make a U-turn. This is one time when you're allowed to make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. Allow Jesus to come into our lives and turn our lives around and put us on the course that we need to be on. Jesus is the best GPS we'll ever have. We just need to rely on him and utilize him on a daily basis. And then he says, and believe. Believe the good news, because the good news is death has no power over us. We have eternal life as a promise. We can live life to its fullest no matter how hard life comes at us, how many directions life comes at us, how many mistakes we make when we don't know where we are, who we are, or what we're doing. God is still there. Christ is still there. We are part of that kingdom. And he says, it is at hand. And then he talks to us about, what about the priority? Now, let me ask you a pointed question. Any of you have any anxiety issues? Don't even have to ask, do I? Anxiety. We know about anxiety. Anybody have any stress issues? Anxiety and stress are first cousins. They know each other well. Anxiety, stress. What about trauma? That's like the trinity of trouble. Anxiety, stress, and trauma. Can it kill you? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. You see, Jesus shows us the way. Jesus walks with us through our stress. Jesus walks with us through our anxiety. Jesus walks with us through the trauma. And although the body remembers trauma, that's one thing we know from science, the body remembers trauma. But Jesus knows that trauma too, and he doesn't abandon us. He sees us through it. It's that journey of getting through it is that journey we don't want to take too often. We don't want to go there. But Jesus asks us to follow him and to follow him anywhere and everywhere. Have we ever stopped to think that sometimes Jesus is asking us to follow him so that we can navigate the stress we're under? That we can deal with the anxiety that we're feeling and that we're going through? That we can deal with the trauma? Have we ever thought about it that way? That Jesus is saying, come on, take my yoke. I can show you how to go through this. And you will come out on the other side. You will come out. You will be the person God created you to be. Now, are some journeys long? Yes, they are. Do some journeys take a lifetime? Yes, they do. And it's not always easy. And anybody that tells you it is easy is simply believing in this, that, and the other. They're lying. Because it's not that easy. It involves taking that first, most important step. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. But then he takes it a step further. If we were to go to the Sermon on the Mount, and you remember that part about people, why are you worrying about what you eat and what you drink and what you wear and all that, and the birds, Jesus even takes care of all the, you know, God takes care of all that. And I remember my mother, she said, why worry, pray. But she prayed a lot. And she worried a lot. And that's not speaking ill of her, because, hey, I pray a little and I worry a lot. I need to pray more. But you know, Jesus helps us. He says, so don't worry. That's really good. Don't worry when he knows we're going to what? Worry. Don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided you. Put your life in order, which means what? Self, get out of the way. We're our own worst enemies. Think about it. Sometimes all we have to do is look at the mirror. And there's some days we can look at ourselves, and there's some days, who is this monster that I'm looking at? And I use the word monster on purpose because sometimes we act crazy. Who is this person? Seek first the kingdom of God. Well, what does that look like? How do we know how to do it? What do we do with it? Well, first, we get out of the way and we allow Jesus to direct our paths. We trust him with our entire life. We trust him with everything. Everything, even those things that we don't want people to know about. We trust him with everything. We allow Jesus to work on us at the heart level. Now, I'm so thankful that they can do heart transplants. That's a miracle in and of itself. But I want to speak about another heart transplant. David talked about, Lord, create in me a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. How many of us need a heart transplant now? And I'm not talking about a physical heart transplant. I'm talking about what's inside of us. How many of us need to get cleaned up on the inside? Because remember, Jesus said, it's not what is outside that defiles us. It's what comes from what? Inside. And let's be honest. Can we be ugly sometimes? Can we be hard to get along with? Can we be devious? Do we lie? Do we steal? Do we do things that we know we should not do? Absolutely. Absolutely. But Jesus reminds us that can be cleaned up, because he went on the cross for what reason? To forgive us of all our sins, all of them, to defeat death, and to give us eternal life. So all of that can be taken care of. So, what do we do? What does it look like? What do we do? Well, we seek the kingdom of God through prayer. We seek it through the word. We seek it through worship. We seek it through repentance, and we seek it through thanksgiving. Now, let me tell you something. Everybody remember the movie? Well, not everybody, but I'm going to date myself here. How many of y'all remember a movie called Love Story? Oh, God. You remember the line in Love Story?
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
That's a crock, you know it. That just ain't so. It's not so. Now, there's some truth to it. We can say we're sorry all we want to. But those are just what? Words. What are people looking for out of us? And what's God looking for out of us? Not that we're sorry, but that we're willing to change, that we're willing to be someone different, someone who honors God. So what does that someone look like? I think Paul got it right. Someone who understands love and is capable of loving. Not all of us are capable of loving. Think about it. Love. Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then self-control. self-control. Self-control comes by allowing Jesus to do what? Take first place in our life, and we willingly step aside. So, at this point, we have an opportunity to renew our commitment to Jesus Christ through the sharing of the Lord's Supper. And as we share that, and Phil is going to lead us in the sharing of the Lord's Supper, may we really think about keeping our eyes on Jesus, because he asked us to do this in remembrance of him, and I can think of no better way to start the new year. Phil, will you?